Hello, everyone, and welcome to our AI and HIPAA webinar. My name is Joe Galatly. Look forward to talking with you for the next 45 minutes or so, and we're going to take a look at some pretty exciting and innovative technology and how that marries up against decades-old regulation that we want to always factor into our planning. And so this is going to be interesting and fun to talk with you about this. I look forward to any questions, comments as we go and at the end as well. And I just want to start out by acknowledging that we're going to step into a very fast-moving technology discussion and how we in our hospitals and clinics adapt to that. And we're all learning together right now. And what I would have spoken on this issue maybe 2-3 weeks ago has already changed. And if we talk about this again in a few months, it's already going to be a different conversation then. So we just want to effectively give you a snapshot of what the AI picture looks like and some ways that we're seeing organizations adapt to it. So with that said, as we get started, I'll give you a quick background. I know we have some customers joining as well, but for anyone who's not worked with us, my background is in the healthcare IT for a long time and prior even to the McCurity launch. So we're going to step in and cover AI, but I want to share that quick background that we look at security risk analysis. That's our key focus area. We work with hospitals and clinics around the country in evaluating their cybersecurity posture and conducting what HIPAA requires, which is that annual security risk analysis, regular security risk analysis across your facility controls, across your technology, all of that. So as we're working on that, we're used to looking at new things that come along. The threat landscape's always changing, right? So each year we're looking at different threats and different opportunities. And that's the lens that we're looking at the fast-moving advancements in artificial intelligence right now. So this isn't not necessarily going to be a hype session about what's happening, but we are very excited about how this will impact healthcare, how clinics can start to get their arms around it, how hospitals can start to adapt to this right now. We don't want to be an ostrich with our head in the sand and just let this happen around us. Obviously, we understand that there's risk in taking moves in this direction, but there's also risk in not adopting and not understanding the lay of the land right now. So what we say as we're working on SRAs is we want a healthy paranoia, want to be aware. We want to be educated and paranoid, but also balance that with workflows and keeping our business moving forward. So when I spoke about this just a couple of weeks ago at a conference, we did a poll at the beginning of that and asked the audience if everyone was more concerned, more excited, if they thought this was going to be a utopia, or if this was fear, you know, heavy fear about the advancements in AI. And the top answer was concern, followed by excitement, which is pretty reasonable and rational for us all. Fear was not high on the list, so no one's really adapted the mindset that this is going to result in time traveling robots that are going to wipe us out or anything crazy like that. We see the function and the functionality and the improvements that this could bring. And we want to look at this and see how we do it intelligently as we go forward. So, and then there were a few people that said they were apathetic about AI, which I thought was amusing to me because they came to the session, but they're like, I'm not interested, but I'm here. So hopefully we can make sure that you're interested and engaged in this as we step through it. So when we look at this, I want to kind of start at what the picture is right now. So hopefully those of you listening in have had a chance to work with perhaps ChatGPT or Bard from Google or other GPT type models, generative type AI models. And when I say generative AI, I'll just give you a couple quick definitions as we step into this. So the generative AI is effectively, it's a build on to what was an autocomplete technology. So if you're using Google or Gmail, if you're using even iPhones, and you know where they would suggest the next word or suggest the rest of your sentence for you, that's the technology that's been extended further and further. And it's been trained and improved upon here just in the last year, 2 years, to reach a point where it can effectively answer your question. You can chat with it because it's auto-completing the next thought, the answer to your question, or taking where you're leading it and understanding that. So it's an advancement on auto-complete. It's still software, it's still something that's been around for a while, but they've been able to train it and just add a lot of depth and capabilities to it. So most of what we talk about right now is focused on that type of artificial intelligence. And they're improving, as I mentioned earlier, improving daily. This snapshot's already a little out of date. This is from ChatGPT. And a lot of what I would focus on is around ChatGPT. They've come out as a leader in this, and they're going to continue to probably be that for a little while. So they've taken these capabilities that show as beta, and they've rolled them in even just last week. So the things that I'd recommend experimenting here with are obviously just chatting with and having conversations with the chatbot, with the tool. You can also upload pictures now. And that's restricted to the $20 a month subscription for GPT Plus. And it allows you to upload a picture. So say you can upload a picture of your fridge and say, hey, what meal is going to make here? And have it give you, suggest menu, you know, meals and give you recipes, even give you the macronutrients for those. You could upload a picture of a vehicle that's been damaged. It'll give you, you know, all the work that needs to be done on the vehicle. So those are fun to play with. It'll create pictures for you. And you've probably seen that. That's really taken off. And the advanced data analysis. So that's where you can upload spreadsheets. You can upload data and have it draw conclusions for you. It does really impressive data analysis. And all of this gives us kind of a preview to the capabilities of the technology. So I wanted to just start out with that. This is where we are today. If nothing else, I'm going to challenge you. I'm challenging everyone to spend some time to understand this, both personally and professionally, for the sake of your organization as well and your patients. I would recommend taking something like 20 hours over the holiday season coming up here, and playing with this, experimenting with this, and getting some understanding of the capabilities here. It still feels like Wild West. We're learning. In fact, even OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT, has, when you listen to the CEO or the employees speak about the technology, they're surprised at what it's capable of continuously. And so we're all learning together what this can do. And again, what we're going to talk about is just a snapshot today of what's available. So moving into specifically in healthcare, it's a very noisy slide here, but we just wanted to put everything up that we see the GPT type technology impacting. And most of this is being impacted right now. There's a lot of improvement. There's a lot of changes happening in things and documentation heavy exercises or workflows. So this is where we take a look at today and start thinking about how this is going to impact you. In any hospital and clinic, you know, many of these workflows are pretty standard. And we've had this, what we've kind of referred to as AI in years past, that's like rules-based or algorithm-driven. So that would be like your scheduling systems that learn and automate some of the scheduling for you. Now it's improved into content creation, which has been obviously pretty powerful to see, and can be letter creation. It can be, you know, moving even into starting to look and analyze your contracts. If you're doing value-based contracts, it can give you recommendations and analysis around that. And then what we're also seeing a move into is really improving documentation and some of the laborious workflows that providers have to do. And we see this potentially picking up a lot of steam because of obviously provider shortage issues, staffing issues, to be able to take documentation and automate so much of that has just driven a lot of investment and interest. And we have hospitals that have already adopted this where they've moved to, they call it ambient dictation or ambient listening systems. So they will be in the room with the patient and the provider and capture all the documentation and complete the charting and even get to the point where orders are queued up and ready. So a lot of that automation is happening right now. And if you ask, you know, physicians about that, they have terms like keyboard liberation is coming. There's definitely an excitement to adopt this. And I think any of us have been in healthcare for a while, we're used to technology lagging a bit in our industry. Like we'll see it in other industries and say, okay, so that's where we'll be in 5-10 years. But this has been to having a real impact in health systems already. And it's part of why we wanted to have this conversation, is to know that even if at the leadership level, you haven't adopted policies around the use of ChatGPT, we're finding in security risk analyses, we're finding in the being feet on the street that providers have adopted pieces of that, that it is being used, or it's being used in marketing, or it's being used in finance because it is such an efficiency gain. So that's not necessarily bad. We just want to talk about how to get our arms around that and how to approach this correctly for our clinics. So the next level that is just barely being explored is back to those analysis type exercises I was mentioning. The insights that we have never really been able to have across multiple sets of data. We have what are, you know, referred to as data lakes. We have a lot of information in healthcare and disparate systems. And now we have technology that can start to understand those relationships. So it can understand context in a way that running reports in Crystal reports or even Tableau, some of these tools we've used for years, aren't able to do. So that might not be directly related to your daily work, but that's going to have a pretty significant impact on us as we get insights and intelligence out of these learning systems that are really powerful. And then one more interesting fact as we look at how it's being used already and how it's been effective is the empathetic aspect. And if you haven't worked with ChatGPT much yet, you may not have seen this. And it can be kind of surprising to hear, but this has been adopted in some hospitals. And what the providers found, one of the more interesting things that they adopted pretty quickly was having ChatGPT lay out how to explain tough topics. Like you can say, hey, we've got to talk about a cervical cancer diagnosis with a 42-year-old Hispanic female, and it will help break that down into a culturally sensitive, appropriate way to share that information. And so providers were praising that and adopting that. We've seen it in studies too. And what I've got up on the slide here was a study that looked at how providers answer questions versus how ChatGPT answers questions. And in the study, they found that it was significantly more empathetic. AI was more empathetic than the physician responses, and then obviously more accurate and detailed just based on the knowledge base. So this is really interesting, and it doesn't, I want to always be cautious as we message this and talk about this with our providers. It's not replacing them, but you know, there's a lot of variations on a quote right now, but the head of the American Medical Association said, AI is not going to replace physicians, but it's certainly going to replace physicians that don't adopt AI as part of their toolkit. So it's really important that we keep that in mind, that there's a lot of ways to use it beyond what's obvious at first. And we begin to see how this can adopt in. So I'm going to come back in a moment to some of the ways that we can deploy this and be thinking about it, even from anywhere from a rural hospital, small practices to university systems. How are we starting to take this forward? So there are some considerations that we put up here. It is going to displace workforce. It already is. There's organizations we've worked with in the industry that have done layoffs as they move toward AI-powered dictation, documentation tools, transcription-type tools. There was a study from Goldman Sachs that said that they're expecting about 300 million knowledge type jobs to be replaced. And there's a lot of roles and knowledge worker type skills that are being replaced. However, it's also going to create that many or more jobs around how to use AI and how we use this appropriately and level up what we're doing. So really significant shifts coming in the workforce we want to be aware of and adapting for as leaders in the field. So, and then learning, of course, how to monitor, how to put these in place in a way that we have some control over. Software can write itself. The software can improve on its own. So it's changing quickly, even when we're not changing it. And that's kind of a new concept for software for us to have in mind, especially in healthcare, where we use technology that's maybe been around for a couple decades and it's pretty stable, and we know when we're doing a big update or upgrade to it. Okay, so with some challenges in mind, we don't need to spend a lot of time here. I think these are somewhat obvious or things that we're already expecting. Health disparity, some concern about bias. So I mentioned that these systems are learning and they're being trained on data, and that data is not really necessarily contained. We have more focused AI tools that are being developed, but broadly ChatGPT, we aren't able to see the data it's trained on. And we've seen some issues where the data set was too small. And so what AI might power and provide, diagnoses or recommendations, but they're impacted by a smaller data set and they aren't really capturing, say, every demographic so we've seen some inappropriate conclusions. So that means as you start to think about how these tools could be incorporated in, it is good to know what they were trained on. Were they trained on the world? Were they trained on one university hospital's data set in one city? And understanding that is a good question to be asking. And through the rest of this, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. We do have, just that concern about how far we go without human interaction, how much we bring this in, and what do we lose when there's not a human, when there's not a person providing that, facilitating that conversation. And next to us. So I think there's good ways to address and mitigate each one of these areas, but wanted to at least share those concerns that we have, that we're watching, and make sure that we're all watching those together. Obviously, at the high level, privacy, security, those are concerns for us. I mentioned that we do privacy and security with our hospitals and our clinics, and we travel around the country, work with hospitals and clinics on how to adopt things cautiously and carefully and keep their risk levels at an acceptable level. And we bring that into how we're looking at AI. So how do we do risk management at the same time that we're adopting this new technology, as I mentioned? So we did put together some practical suggestions on how you might get started. And one of the first things I'll mention is understand the current use. And this comes back to, as I shared, when you do a risk analysis, which we're required to do anyway under HIPAA, one of the things we want to understand is what do we not see? What's happening off plan or out of policy in our environment? So things that we run into would be, like, right now, a huge focus area is tracking pixels on websites. So did marketing add analytics to your website, to your homepage, your marketing company, or your marketing team, if it's in-house? They might be tracking visitors, and those pixels will capture information about your website visitor. Seems harmless enough. Marketing uses it all the time. But what we've seen as an industry here in the past few months, especially, is it's capturing information about your website visitors. And if they're filling out forms or they're logging into the portal, some of that information was going back to Facebook or to Google, the tools where the analytics tools come from. And so there's been lawsuits. There's been a lot of really strong worded guidance from the feds on being aware and how to address that, find out if you're doing it. So it's something we look at as part of the SRA. In the same vein, we're finding that people are using ChatGPT, even if leadership has not deployed anything or not communicated about it yet. We're seeing they had 100 million users in the first couple months, right? Sign up here at this time of year last year, and they've grown since then. So the adoption curve is already, we're already past the early adopters, and it is a very good chance that people on the team are using it or will be using it soon. So in various parts of the organization. So as you find those areas, if you are talking, if you're tracking internet traffic and you're saying, here's our constant visitors to ChatGPT, I think it's really important that we help celebrate that they're early adopters, that they're trying innovative things, right? So even though you have to kind of get a handle on it, basically we're going to ask them to wait and let the organization catch up with them. But we also, I think it is, again, important to acknowledge that person is being creative and innovative and can help maybe be a part of a committee, if you do that, to understand how we would incorporate in ChatGPT to our current use. It has been one helpful tool has been to pull your audience or your workforce and have them submit the ideas that they have for adapting tools like ChatGPT. So maybe marketing will say, hey, can we please use it for our newsletters? Maybe IT will say, hey, can we use it for our scripting? It can write scripts. It can give you code. It can build programs for you. It could be huge efficiency gain. And those non-clinical functions might be less threatening to you than adopting it in a clinical sense. Might be an easier place to start getting your arms around it. So instead of just shutting it down and saying no one can do it, highly recommend having a process for them to get requests to you, whether it's a setup in inbox or it's a key person, but have those suggestions come to you and say, here's how we'd like to use it. So you can start to evaluate those and go, here's a safer one. Here's a place we might want to start. Let's have it create our social media posts on, you know, health education that we're putting out, for example. So finding some easy wins and starting to put it in place gives you a chance to learn more about the technologies and gives your staff time to get used to this and start leveling up with these technologies too. So soliciting it from the team has been really good. Training and awareness, this is obviously the communication back to the workforce. So currently, if they're going to the free version of ChatGPT and they're having it create letters, like this is an example that we've seen, pre-authorization letters. It's so slick and it's so quick to do this. It's very, once you've done it once or twice, you want to keep doing it. But that version of ChatGPT is not HIPAA compliant. It's being used for learning. It's actually, whatever you use it for is training the software to get better at predicting for the future too. So one of the things we want to just really caution everyone on is, again, back to current use, Are we using it for any clinical data? We need to get some controls around that. We need to be able to manage that tightly, because again, the free version, ChatGPT, even the paid version, is not HIPAA compliant out of the box. Now, they have come out somewhat recently and said, now, if you're going to use their API, their application programming interface, which means you tie into ChatGPT, you're not just going to the website and using it. And we'll talk more about that, but you can get to ChatGPT in a way that they will sign a business associate agreement, and they will commit to you that it is a HIPAA ready, privacy and security ready portion of the platform that they'll put you into. So there are some solutions here that wasn't there before. And so we were just saying very cautiously, we would just restrict using PHI at all, but now we have some pathways for that, again, because the world here is changing so quickly and they are evolving really quickly to make this useful for everyone. I've referenced the security risk analysis. This is just the exercise as you go through it each year, recalling that your software use changes. So new tools that people are using, this is where we want to really inspect and understand what's been introduced into your environment. Understand the risk and decide if you want to put any controls around that, restrict it, et cetera. So just ensure that SRA is happening on an annual basis. And then that's if any breaches or issues occur, that's something that you're asked for by the Office of Civil Rights and need to be able to present to kind of limit the damage there. Business associate due diligence. Business associates, of course, are vendors that are potentially handling PHI for you. And it's pretty critical to understand their strategy around this. A lot of EHR companies are adapting ChatGPT specifically very quickly into it. So via Microsoft, Epic has made some big announcements. eClinical Works has as well. And everyone has some statement or conversations on this, that they're moving in this direction. So it is important to understand this, because those business associates are working with your PHI. So obviously the baseline here is make sure a business associate agreement has been signed with any vendor you're working with, because we've seen third parties like a billing company that accidentally published patient names online, and the penalty for that came back on the providers because they couldn't present a BAA. They didn't have a BAA signed. We've even seen that with Google scheduling being used, but there wasn't a BAA in place when there was an issue that came up, a breach that came up. So that baseline, have the agreement signed, make sure it's current with all of your business associates, and then understand if you're using a billing company, if they're beginning to adapt ChatGPT, we want to understand how they're using this. So the testing and validation, this is pretty clear, obvious. As we adapt in uses of ChatGPT, you just want to understand that we're using it in ways that meet its current capabilities. And the one note I'd put here is that if you haven't heard this already, there's, when you ask for facts from ChatGPT, it has a history of hallucinating, meaning it's making things up sometimes. And so that's really concerning, right? So you have to remember that. So again, what data set are you looking at? What kind of questions are you looking for? But if you ask for, 10 news stories on a topic, historically in the past months, several of those news stories might not actually be real. It's just trying to autocomplete or find or make up an answer. So it is concerning. It shouldn't hold you back from experimenting and finding ways that does work when it's creating new content for you. It's really incredible. But just understand some of the limitations that are there right now. And that's why we keep testing in there. Okay, so one of the ideas that we would suggest, share with you, is to begin to think about how you might implement this in a limited, controlled manner. And this looks really technical. And I just want to say, we work with smaller groups where this is probably a little bit outside of their resources and what they want to do right now. But I want to at least give the concept here. And then some of our hospitals and larger community health centers have started down this path as well. So the idea here is that we take the capabilities of ChatGPT, but we run it through our own internal server, our own process, because it allows us to log all the ways it's being used. So, and allows us to monitor and control that, so we can make sure it's being used appropriately. And again, it looks fairly intense, but if you have a technical team that could take a look at this, ChatGPT itself can write the codes and walk through, write the code and walk through the setup for something like this to put in place. But it does allow, if you've got the resources to do it, it allows you to begin to adopt this technology in a controlled fashion where you're learning along with your workforce, how it's working, how people are using it. And then you can start turning on, you know, allowing various functions. So say if you've got that suggestion box and you've got a bunch of ideas, start turning them on and monitor through here how that's being adopted. So that's pretty cool. That API, meaning we're not directly going to the ChatGPT website, we're using it through our own program. That's where we can reach out to OpenAI and have them provide a BAA, a business associate agreement for us, and know that even if there's clinical data that gets used through there, that's in a safe place. And of course, that lets the providers begin to use this more freely and experiment a little bit more with it, because we are, like I said, we're seeing that even in lieu of a BAA, we're seeing that providers have seen how much this can save them time and help. And they're just taking it right to the site and using it in some cases. So something to be really aware of. Okay. So there's a quick screenshot in there, just confirming that statement that there's business associate agreements available now at this time. The next idea that I wanted to share here as an example was how to use it in training. So if you're looking for a specific theme of how you might start to adopt ChatGPT in your hospital or clinic, training is really interesting, and training is really broad, right? I understand, you know, so our customers have residencies. This might just be for new staff. It might be ongoing security awareness. There's a lot of ways that training plays out, of course, in healthcare. But in any of those ways, these are some of the types of functions that work right now in ChatGPT and other tools like it. And you can start to, again, get a handle on and see it work and understand the limitations and understand the capabilities. So feeding in a paper and saying, hey, give me a score back on this. You can give some criteria there, but you can attach and feed in papers to it, reports, that kind of thing. And it can come back and do scoring for you. It can create learning plans. And they're leaning into this. OpenAI themselves are creating more and more training capabilities where you can create a curriculum in the platform. So watch for that, and it will guide your individual employees through. So you would set up your own company on there, basically. And then, of course, any kind of scenarios it can develop scenarios for you, discussion questions for you. So it can give you a lot of the kind of content that you might be spending time or thinking of, or maybe need to refresh because you've had it for years. And then finally, training of any kind, have that regenerated in any language. So you can say, give me training on workplace security and give it to me in these three languages and make it five bullet points and make it this long and send it in format this way. And it will produce those documents for you within seconds, right? So again, if you have a multilingual type patient base or workforce, that's a pretty cool, pretty powerful function that's been adopted. We've seen that used well and keeps us out of the clinical space. So again, if you're not going to pay or have the environment set up, you know, soon, this is something you could do. Any size organization could experiment with today, and you could start with just new employee type training, those kind of things. So still want the training curriculums, the programs that will track their completion, all of that. But this would be kind of the deep dive in specific topics or new type of training, new technologies, new things that you want to introduce the staff to. With that, coming back around to how we do this in a secure way, we just want to not restrict the use of this, right? It's so impactful for healthcare. So just again, I want you to have that point that there's always risk, right? And as you let your staff start to work with this, as you adopt new tools that are powered by ChatGPT or other AI type tools, we can move in that road, down that road. And we have risk no matter what we do. We always have risk, right? We just need to document and understand what we're doing to control, to put boxes around what we accept as risk. So this is a quick snapshot. When we do security risk analysis, we have a platform that we use. And so then you can manage those risks, whatever function you use, however you accomplish this. Want to be sure that you've identified risks like this and that you have a work plan that you're documenting on how you're going to control or manage that risk. It's not that you shut it off always, right? Those tracking pixels on the website, if they're capturing any patient information, you want to shut those off right away. So there are areas across the broad spectrum of an SRA where you do want to just take more immediate action. But we want to open this up. We can answer any more specific questions. Obviously, it's, again, a balance of being really excited, but just want to help everyone understand how to put this in a box a little bit. But also, I want to just revisit here, challenge everyone to spend potentially 20 hours or so to really learn, study, you know, listen to there was an announcement from OpenAI on their path forward here recently last week. There's a lot of content around this, but also just getting your hands into it and seeing what ChatGPT can do. And I think that will increase your excitement about its capabilities. And I think you should challenge other leaders in your organization to do the same. It has pretty tremendous impact on every function in our healthcare facilities. So I want to open it up from there. If anyone wants to drop other questions into the Q&A function, or if they indicate that they have a question, we can turn them on here, but we can take this conversation in the other direction. But that was our overview that we wanted to walk through today with everyone. I'll share just a couple other notes here in closing and watch for any questions as we do. Seeing the type of capabilities here and how to do them in a measured, controlled way, we are bringing some of the ChatGPT capabilities into the Medcurity platform. So we believe in it. We believe that it can produce, you know, greater and greater products or outputs for us. A lot of intelligence that can help as long as you have a human hand at the steering wheel. And so we're excited and all in on this. And we're working alongside our organizations that are looking for ways to experiment with this. We do still see, we see people in the field. We have IT leadership that have been deep in this, that are using it in almost every function of their role now. And then we work with IT individuals that have had no exposure to it. They haven't had an opportunity to work in it at all. So in those cases, we're saying that's a really high risk not to understand it, dive in and understand it well. And then on the other side, the heavily involved in adapters of this, we're saying, hey, there's risk there as well, right? So understand this, document what you're doing, and have a plan as an organization. If you have a compliance committee, you could roll this into that, or you could have specifically an AI committee, but you want to have that pushing forward into the technology while you're keeping security and privacy in mind. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close this out. We'll share the PowerPoint out and welcome any questions from anyone. Thank you for being a part of the conversation today.